so. Amen. As my friend Martha offers this prayer on behalf of preachers everywhere struggling to explain the Trinitarian God from the pulpit, so I in turn offer it on your behalf this morning. In doing so, I hope along with you that the Creator of all that we see, the Redeemer who calls us to go out into the world to love others, and the Sustainer who is with us as we go, will be properly honored by our awe. In spite of the fact that we cannot quite wrap our minds around the theological doctrine. The truth is, I'm not sure we're supposed to. After all, Augustine said, if you have understood, then what you have understood is not God. And we know he's right. We could no more explain the Godhead in three persons, blessed Trinity, than we could count the stars. When I gaze into the heavens and see the work of your fingers, writes another ancient poet, a psalmist singing a prayer not unlike my friend Martha's. Awed by creation, the psalmist wonders aloud, the moon and stars suspended in space. What is humankind that you're mindful of them, mortals, that you care for them? If you've ever lifted your gaze to the moon and stars, or gently touched the bark of an angel oak tree older than your great-great-grandmother, or seen just one image of a distant galaxy taken by the Hubble telescope, or if you find yourself at the foot of a mountain, or on the bank of a sunlit, glistening river, or standing with your toes on the surf of an ocean that stretches as far as the eye can see, then you know what it is suddenly to feel small, to be awestruck by the grandeur of God. Emerson said, the happiest person is the one who learns from nature the lesson of worship. He might as well have recited today's psalm or the first account of creation that we heard from Genesis 1. Both of these texts center on our being awestruck by God and by the works of God's hands, but they do not allow us to stay there. Much like the experiences that take our breath away, glimpses of where we fit into the big picture are fleeting. So it is in the psalm. Having learned from nature the lesson of worship, the psalmist moves on to the responsibility we share to protect and preserve the natural world, the world of night skies, of moon and stars, of fish of the sea and birds of the air and waters that stretch over the deep. What is humankind that you are mindful of them? Asks the psalmist. And it is from this humble posture that the psalmist also wonders aloud about humankind's potential. Yet you have made them a little lower than God and crowned them with glory and honor. You have given them dominion over the works of your hands. You've put all things under their feet, all sheep and oxen and also the beasts of the field, the birds of the air and the fish of the sea, whatever passes along the path. Did you hear that? Made a little lower than Elohim, to have studied theology, written papers on the doctrine of the Trinity, and so much more. We need to have had enough preaching classes to take this task seriously enough to presume to speak God's word to a weary and heartbroken world, but not so seriously that we're too scared to climb the steps of the pulpit. We need to have learned enough about family systems theory and pastoral care in order to be responsible practitioners when you come to us with the things of your life that make you feel small in another way. The diagnoses and the heartaches, the betrayals and the griefs that seem too much to bear. This robe symbolizes that you care, that we have been trained in the academy for ministry. And then there's this stole. Some of you aren't quite sure what to call it, and that's okay. I've heard you call it a scarf. Interesting. Some of you just point at it without using a word at all, and that's fine, too. In my absence, apparently my two older children used it as a blindfold in a children's sermon. There is a sermon in that somewhere, but the bottom line, as my husband would say, is that the absent person doesn't make the rules. I was told back in seminary that a stole represents pastoral authority. It's a symbol that says ministers are set apart to go to God's word, to interpret it as responsibly as we can, and to share what we find with you, and to encourage you to do the same. It's a yoke that reminds me of the weight of all the hands that rested on me when I knelt on these steps on the day of my ordination. But I suspect that this stole is less about authority than it is about service. Less about dominion than it is about caring for each other. Jesus said the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve. And he washed the feet of the disciples, a role usually reserved for a lowly servant. This stole, then, is my towel. Jesus instructed us to care for one another, to wash each other's feet, and so this stole, to me, is a sign of that service. In today's gospel lesson, Jesus also commanded us to go into the world, making disciples of every nation.